is a ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
You know, Brooks, they say teams make the biggest jump week one to week two. And if that's the case, then I feel really good coming off a loss, unfortunately. I mean, 17-10 and a very, very long night in Orlando. We'll get into that stuff here in just a minute. But as far as what we saw, especially defensively, I think we both feel really good about it. We kind of thought that going into the game, and they ended up playing really, really good on the defense, on the defensive side of the football. So talk about that, some of the offense stuff that we saw. I know Coach Kelly had a press conference today. We'll go through a little bit of that. It was about 20 minutes long. There wasn't a whole lot to it. But Brooks, how are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, coming off a fun Labor Day weekend. A lot of college football. A lot of very surprising things in college football. Alabama, LSU, Texas. But we're here to talk about Jack State, of course. I think that first game certainly told us a lot about Jack State, you know, where the improvement needs to be made, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are. And I think that was kind of, you know, the goal of that game more than anything. You know, like we said, all week leading up there, you know, all in the off season leading up to it, you know, we more than anything, you know, we want to figure ourselves out and, you know, get that chemistry rolling in order to get ready for this week's Liberty game. I think we saw that, you know, I think we did see that. We saw the strengths, we saw the weaknesses. We knew there was going to be, you know, some hiccups, and there were a lot of them, but there were a lot of high points. There were a lot of things to build off of. We'll do a deep dive into the UCF game from last week. Go over some Conference USA scores. And it's a 2-for-1 combo this week. We're going to go ahead and do our Liberty preview here in just a little bit too. But we'll start off with the UCF game. I think we're going to be all right. That's what I took away from this game. I think we're going to be all right. The talent is there. It was the first game. It was learning a lot about our team, like I said, and learning a lot about our coaching staff. I mean, it was the first game for everybody. And, you know, there were some questionable decisions. There were some very gutsy decisions that did pay off. You know, the fake punt, going forward on fourth down a good bit, where we got, I think, what did we go, 4-for-6 on fourth downs?
Yeah, I got the numbers here pulled up. They were prolific and aggressive on fourth down for pretty much the entire game. I'll get the numbers here in a minute. But, fourth down, 4 out of 6 for Jack State. Because they struggled on third down a lot. We'll get to that in a minute. So they had a lot of fourth downs, unfortunately, but they did well with the ones that they had. Like Brooks said, we did learn a lot. I mean, you know, Coach Kelly said in the press conference that the goal was to go in there and win. And I do believe that this team had every you know, inclination that they were going to go down there and win the game. And I think that
should've even, won.
You know, yeah, should have won for sure. We'll get into that in a minute. But even before the game started, you know, I think me and Brooks, you know, on our show and on the guest spot we did with the UCF guys, you know, they were like, on paper, you know, we should beat Jack State by a lot. And we were like, well, you know, maybe that's true on paper, but with what this team did last year, I know that this is a whole new team, the whole new staff. Basically, the only thing that's the same is the school name and the jerseys, but I think we felt a lot different and we were proven right and that they played really well. So to start with, like Brooks said, there are a lot of really good things that happened and some bad things that happened. We'll start with kind of the rough things to begin with. So we'll be on a positive note, but third downs, like we said, offensively and defensively was bad. It was bad both ways. The offense was 3 out of 15 on third down. The defense allowed 7 out of 15, and that number got inflated a little bit. There were 3 or 4 UCF conversions of 3rd and 10 or longer. One really hurt Jack State there in the late fourth quarter. I think that was right after or the play that Trevor Woods got called for targeting. So the defense, for as good as they played, they were on the field a ton, by the way. UCF kind of controlled the time of possession, really more in the first half, more so than in the second half. I think Jack State's offense kind of went into the locker room and figured some good stuff out at halftime to be able to possess the ball more, which was, I think, pretty key. But UCF did possess the ball for, in the end of the game, only 32 minutes, so there wasn't that big of a split. But at halftime, there was a huge split in time of possession to go UCF's way. So the defense played really well when you consider, how much they were on the field. There were, the two big targeting calls. The first one probably, and, we didn't really know this in the second quarter when it was first called, probably cost us the football game. I'm going to say that about a couple things in this show, but the first thing was that first targeting call on Traquan Figgins probably cost us the game. Whether or not you think that was targeting or not, that's not what I'm here to do, not what we're here to do. I don't think that we know what targeting is, so we're not going to talk about it. I don't think anybody knows. But Figgins got called for targeting, brought back a defensive touchdown. Emmanuel picked it up, and it was like a 40-yard scoop and score, which would have been a bingo for those that are playing, but got taken off the board. So that was kind of the first big blow and the first kind of big mistake by the Gamecock defense, other than, like I said, letting two or three or four big third down conversions for UCF. And I say big, I mean like third and 10, third and 12, third and 15 at times. But they kept UCF behind the sticks a lot, which was really good. They played great first and second down defense. Their run defense looked good. Honestly, the thing that might have hurt him the most was when Figgins sacked Fancher, they changed quarterbacks. Because Taven Jackson came in and looked really good. Fancher did not look good before he was replaced. Now, he did some good things running the football for them, but he had all kinds of ball placement accuracy issues before the quarterback change there. So just kind of a weird game all around. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in a 17-10 game. I think it was really boring. It wasn't. It was filled with things, as far as, a couple of targeting calls. And Jackson got the big, I think it's going to be called a fumble. The screen pass that got blown up by Alexander, and I forget who recovered it, but that was a big break for the Jack State defense early. And then we were scoreless all the way, to the end of the first half. And there was the big lightning delay in the middle there, but we did line up a field goal there in the first half, and it got blocked. That didn't help either. And then, of course, the 4th-and-1 call at the end of the game when Jack State almost had the game put away at that point. That would have been a 4th-and-1 call with, a 1:50 left on, on the plus side of the field. Mm. All you had to do after that, you pick it up, you run, three plays up the middle, UCF burns our timeout, took a field goal, and, you're up by 3 with 1 minute left or something like that, and you feel really good. But we'll kind of get into the 4th-and-1 play here in a minute. And as far as the offense goes, I mean, like I said, defense played really good, but, game one offensive struggles are all around the country. I mean, the LSU-Clemson game was 17-10, I think. So a lot of low-scoring games around the country. But, Wimsatt finishes 15 of 29. He had the interception there at the end, which was a garbage time pick where he just had to get rid of the ball. I think he threw for 140 yards altogether. That stat line doesn't really speak to what the game was. Jack State didn't really try to throw it. He said he threw it 29 times, but 12 of those were in the fourth quarter. So, they were run first, really, really run first for the most part. Cam Cook carried it 17 times for 75 yards. He also caught 4 balls for 43. So he was leading rusher and leading receiver. And Coach Kelly kind of alluded to that in the press conference today. If you guys listened to that already, we kind of talked about that. And Your leading tackler was Trevor Woods, who won't play in the first half against Liberty due to that late targeting call. And that one was targeting for sure.
Yeah,
unfortunately, absolutely. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So one thing I'll say about Wimsatt, he throws the ball. When he throws it, it looks really good. I mean, big arm, throws it on a line. I don't know as far as we didn't see a lot of touch passes from him, so kind of see that as we go. I took a couple shots to DeAndre Johnson. He had a couple catches, but he can throw the ball as far and as hard as you need him to. I would like to see Wimsatt keep the ball on some of those read option plays more. I think every time he kept it, it looked like he picked up 6 or 7 on his own, at least for the most part. But I know we were spoiled last year with Tyler Huff, watching him keep like literally half of them and have a lot of success. And Wimsatt wasn't keeping the read option as much as I thought maybe he could or should have. And again, hindsight's 20/20. So, maybe I'm off in left field there, but I do think he needed to keep it a little bit more. I think that would help the offense out. The biggest thing, and Coach Kelly talked about this on the press conference too, the Caden Creel package that nobody saw coming, to include UCF. you know, I know I kind of texted Brooks on that drive that he, the first drive he was in for, and he kind of trotted out there, and I'm like, Caden Krill's in the field, we're going to see something really crazy. And then he was just kind of like a part of the offense for a while, where like he just blocked or was in motion like he was any other wide receiver, and they finally kind of ran the pitch play to him, and he threw it to Cam Cook, and they picked up, you know, 18 or 20 on sort of a trick play. And I thought, you know, maybe that was just like a long con, if that makes sense. Like they're setting up this trick play from, you know, eight plays ago. But then he came back for the second series and had success there. And that was one big question we kind of had after there. One big takeaway we had after the game was, you know, how much is Caden Krill going to be involved? Because the couple drives he had, they looked really good. They moved the ball really well. And they did ask Coach Kelly on the press conference today, and he did say that that's something that we'll see. He said, I think that's part of the offense was what he used. And he said, you know, some games you may see a lot, some games you may not. Depends on how they're being played. But I thought the Caden Krill package was more than successful for being a complete surprise to everybody, I think. So really cool to see that. I know Krill's, you know, been at Jack State for, you know, I think this is his second year now. And he sat and kind of waited his turn, and he's going to get on the field, you know, not the starter, but he's getting on the field to do, be able to do something. And he was more than efficient in what his package was. So I hope we see a lot more of it. I think they moved the ball really well with Krill in the game. So that's obviously not something you can do every drive or every play, because you're kind of losing a receiver out of that group. But for, you know, a drive per game or two drives per game, that could be something that's really, really lethal for the offense. Because, you know, we're going to say this a couple times, but if Jack State can find a way to score 28 points every game, they're going to win a lot of games this year, because the defense is really good. And they're going to hold a lot of teams under 20 points or under 24, wherever you want to kind of put that number as far as what would be kind of an average offensive day. They're going to hold teams under that number. So if Jack State can score 24 or 28 every game, I think they're going to be very, very successful with how this defense can play. But we'll rehash it for a minute. You guys know the story. Jack State's got the ball 4th and 1, under 2 minutes left, clock's running, and they did the new school thing, which is go really, really fast and just try to surprise them and just get a yard or 2 yards on the ground with a quick run play. It just didn't work out. They ran a stretch play to the left, and I know there was talk about Cam Cook. He bounced it outside and maybe should have just kind of, you know, put his feet in the ground and went up the middle, and that might have gotten it done. Again, hindsight's 20/20. You know, should they have waited, ran the clock down, called a timeout, and then kind of ran a set play? Maybe. But, you know, if the going fast, getting a yard works, then that's never a conversation anyway. So, 50-50, half dozen the other, like, it is what it is. It didn't work at the end of the day. And they got beat. So, they played really good, especially defensively. The offense has a little bit of ways to go, especially through the air. But, Brooks, I've rambled on long enough now. Give us your thoughts and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'll start and, you know, give a couple overall things. I'll start with coaching. So, you know, Charles Kelly's first head coaching game ever after coaching 25, 30 plus years and never having to make some of these decisions that he had to make. You know, the one that stood out to me was at the end of the first half, you know, being able to use having to call a timeout in a hurry up situation, because we were putting together a pretty good drive, picking up chunk plays and trying to get a score to go up before halftime. But we get down on their end of the field. We didn't start using the timeouts, had all 3 timeouts left, and didn't start using the timeouts until there were, you know, 30 seconds left. And even then we didn't use the second one until there was like 10 left. And that was to kick the field goal that got blocked. I mean, that happens sometimes. You know, I'm not thinking too much into that, but, you know, I was kind of frustrated at the time. But, you know, me and my dad were talking about it. You got to think about it. He's never had to call a timeout in his entire coaching career.
So one thing too, if I would play, you know, devil's advocate here, like they were moving the ball, like you said, in the first half, but there was a lot of run plays.
Yeah.
Kind of like
even
UCF
on that
set,
drive but, the half.
Yeah. And UCF was like set back, you know, all right, you're ready to throw it. There's 2 minutes left. They're like, well, you know, the passing game's not where it's supposed to be. We can move the ball on the ground, especially with the defense UCF had out there. There might have been a nickel package or whatnot, where they could actually run the ball really well. So that may have been part of the reason, just a little more conservative that deep into the first half, and maybe three was what kind of their goal was at the time. Because I know the last thing I know, they didn't get points in the end, so you know it is what it is. But the last thing you want to do is throw a pick on the 20-yard line with half a minute left when you could have kicked the field goal and taken the lead. So you know maybe been part of it, like you said, the timeout piece was something to look at, but.
You don't want to throw a pick with on the 20-yard line with 30 seconds left. But at the same time, too, I would have much rather us, you know, kind of like we were doing, get a chunk play, get to the 50, you know, get to the 50 or so, call a timeout, get something a little bit better. You know, just get a couple of things drawn up to where we could put ourselves in a better position to get a touchdown, instead of a field goal. Because, you know, we texted during the rain delay. You know, the way this game's going, 7 might be enough to win this game. You got to take advantage with the opportunities that you get.
And like you said, maybe they were conservative there, but they were aggressive for basically the entire game. They went for it 6 times.
Absolutely. I'm not complaining
They were super aggressive. So maybe you do expect them to call timeouts earlier and be more aggressive in that spot when you kind of sat back and looked and said, okay, we went for it on 4th down 6 times. We faked a punt and got a first down. They were played like they had nothing to lose the whole game. And then, you know, like you said, they were kind of conservative there at the end of the first half. But, you know, that's something that they'll work through. And I'm sure in the year, you know, they'll be where they're supposed to be as far as the management of the game goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that he'll pick up on and get more and more used to as the season goes on. So, you know, I'm not too stressed about that. His coaching instincts will kick in and, you know, we'll be fine on that part. I thought though, you know, the offense kind of surprised me a little bit. You know, I thought it was going to be, and statistically it was a lot more balanced than what we're used to. I thought that we came into this expecting that to be, you know, a little bit more balanced than it was. Like I said, statistically it was. Wimsatt threw the ball 29 times. But I thought, I kind of thought too, with as many quarterback design plays, quarterback rushing design plays as there were, and as many read options as there were, it was almost like, is Rich Rod back on the sidelines? So, you know, it kind of surprised me to, you know, see us run the offense the way that it did. I thought it was productive though. There were some throws that Wimsatt should have made. I think he needs to be a little bit more patient. Accuracy things, that's something that certainly can be fixed, can be worked on. But he's going to have to do it quick. I think, conference play starting next week. But if he can be a little bit more patient in the pocket and let the play develop, I think that'll solve a lot of his problems. So that was my overall though. I thought Wimsatt did fine. Cam Cook was everything that we hoped to be for him to be. I thought he had a fantastic game. You know, both on the ground and through the air. The guy's just a tremendous athlete. I think he's certainly going to be the player of the year on offense. Saw a couple catches from DeAndre Johnson. One was fantastic. I don't know that his hands were his problem. I think he only had, I think, 2 catches, but he made both of them, and they made both of them look really well. So I don't know what Ruggers did not see in him.
I will say while we're on the DeAndre Johnson part of it, that last drive DSU had, now they had what, half a minute and no timeouts, or half a minute and one timeout, or whatever it was. So it wasn't a lot to, you know, they didn't have time to really do much. But they did get the ball close to midfield, or around midfield, after the third targeting call of the game, one that went JSU's way. And they threw kind of a one-on-one ball to Johnson that got knocked away, and that was a 2nd down throw, I want to say. And I kind of sat back and I said, just do that 2 more times, and if you lose, I can live with it. I don't know if they sort of doubled after that, but he got the one-on-one look down the sideline there on 2nd and 10, you know, with 20-some-odd seconds left, and it got knocked away. But if they had just thrown that ball two more times as opposed to what they tried to do, you know, maybe you get something else there. But I know they ran the third down play and then the pick that was just kind of a prayer to nobody there, and it just kind of landed in the arms of UCF defenders. So more than happy with how the game turned out. You know, you look at three things, you know, if you want to pick us out three that the game hinged on. I think the targeting call that wiped the touchdown off the board in the first half, and you know, the blocked field goal, that fourth and one play, are a lot of things that if they go JSU's way, they win this game. They didn't today or on Thursday, and it is what it is. But as far as, you know, being like I said, first game, new coach, I think we're both more than happy with where the team is and what they can accomplish this year. Around the conference, the same cannot be said about a lot of different teams. We're going to get into that now. To start with, Thursday, Delaware and Delaware State played. I'm sure that rivalry game has a name. I don't know what it is. Delaware 35, Delaware State 17. The Blue Hen started a little bit slow. So game was scoreless after one quarter, and then Delaware kind of turned it on after that. But I don't know how much you kind of learned from that either. Kennesaw State, man, Friday night. I mean, I don't know how good Wake's going to be. They may be the worst team in the ACC. There's certainly some publications that there's some publications that think they're going to be the worst in the ACC, but Kennesaw State took them to the wire. I mean, they had as much of the Owls as they wanted. Wake Forest 10, Kennesaw State 9. So the Owl defense apparently played or looked really, really well. The offense had its struggles, but I mean, that's a much improved. I don't know if there was any Power 4 team last year that wouldn't have beat Kennesaw by multiple scores. Was just with how that team played. So that's already a huge improvement. FIU blew out Bethune-Cookman. UNLV took care of Sam Houston. That offense does not look good. They scored 21 points, but they got 14 of those in garbage time in the fourth quarter. So kind of see what that offense looks like throughout the year. But they start out 0-2 already. West Kentucky took care of UNA. Missouri had to go on the road to the Coliseum for their first FBS game. That's just whoever scheduled that, man, that's brutal. And that could have been scheduled 10 years ago for all we know. But Southern Cal 73 and Missouri State 13. That's not a lot to talk about there. Louisiana Tech took care of Southeast Louisiana. And then New Mexico State beat Bryant 19-3. I don't know anything about the Bryant team. I don't know if they're a good FCS team, or maybe they're not. I don't know, but Mexico State only scored 19 points. There's doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence. UTEP got beat by Utah State, 28-16, and then the shocker of the day. Get to that before we get to Liberty. The Governors. Oh my gosh, seriously? Austin Peay beat Middle Tennessee State in Murfreesboro 34-14 in a game that was never even close. I mean, Austin Peay was up by 20 the entire game. They were up by 14 at the end of the first quarter and never looked back. The game was never close. I never cut it on television. I had every intention to, because I'm like, well, Middle Tennessee State will get back in it in a minute and make it interesting at the end. And they just didn't. I mean, Austin Peay, the better team, easily the better team. And what makes it worse is Austin Peay's quarterback was 11 for 20 for 142 yards. So they didn't throw the ball very good. And the leading rusher was Middle Tennessee State. Middlebrooks had 11 carries for 48. So Austin Peay wins that game going away without a player that was blowing middle. It's like, not like one guy that they couldn't stop. I mean, it was a complete team domination there from Austin Peay. And, you know, I know that Coach Mason's had, you know, just first year was last year and there was a lot to fix and this and that. But like year two comes around, you get beat like that by an FCS team. And Austin Peay is not an FCS powerhouse by any stretch. And we know Austin Peay better than most schools do with how much time we spent with them. I know they've had some success in recent years, but I mean, that was a pathetic effort by Middle there. So they have a lot of soul searching doing. Then Liberty, same thing, man. Went to the fourth quarter against Maine, tied at 7. Was able to score 21 points in the fourth quarter to make that game a 28-7 victory, and it looks a little bit better. But Liberty, the offense did not look good. You know, Liberty played down to their competition the entire year last year. Didn't matter who they played to that level. I think if they went to to Athens and played Georgia, they had played really good. If they went to Kennesaw State, they played really bad and got beat. But it was just really weird how that Liberty team played last year. And this looked like a carbon copy of the exact same thing. And that's that team's got a lot of new players too. But and there were times in that game, I didn't get to watch a lot of this one, where you know the Liberty offensive line was getting whooped up front by Maine. You know, Maine's defense actually looked really, really good for most of that game against Liberty. So I know Vasco is the transfer from Coastal, and you know, Jack State made him look like Peyton Manning last year in week one when he was at Coastal and came to Jacksonville and played really well. But you know, there were points in this game where his completion percentage was at 50% or right around 50%. And he had issues with it. So they finished, 19 of 33 for 197 yards and 3 touchdowns. So the ending stat line looks pretty good. But, you know, the if you kind of look in the numbers and got to see the gameplay, he didn't look all that great. I know a new system's tough learning 1 week, and you know everything we said about JSU, where you can make up a lot of ground from week one to week two. That's when teams get the most improvement. You know, Liberty could be the same way there. They could come out against JSU and look really, really good. So, you know, nothing's saying that they can't do that. But beyond that, that kind of wraps up all the conference talk. With what's gone around, and like we said, there were a lot of disappointing scores in here, you know, Sam Houston and I even think Mexico State, UTEP, obviously Middle Tennessee State, Liberty didn't look good at all. So kind of interesting to see what those teams kind of turn into. Brooks, any quick thoughts about the conference schedule last week?
Yeah, no, I kind of hit on the big games. Start with Austin Peay and Middle Tennessee. Woof. You can take every take that we had about Middle Tennessee, you know, improving and, you know, it maybe being a, you know, potential front runner for the conference, and throw it out the window. Because, oh my God. I was looking through their, I was looking at their drive chart a second ago, and they put together a few decent drives, but just everything else was three and out for the most part. The only play that they went, if I'm correct, the only drive that they had, there was another drive where it was a lot of what we saw last year where they could get down the field, but they couldn't score. And that's what happens. They ran an 11 play drive for 68 yards, but turned it over on downs because you just couldn't score. But just nothing good. Run game wasn't there. Quarterbacks didn't look good. Battiato played the majority of the game, but I think they put Gagliano in for one play and didn't do anything.
Battiato, 15 of 36 for 104 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's against an FCS opponent. And this, he's not a bad quarterback, historically anyways, but just never – just could not get anything going. I couldn't get anything going. Just play bad. Just wow. Yeah, like I said, you can take every take that we had about Middle being halfway decent, being in conference contention, and just forget it. We never had that conversation. That never happened.
Middle Tennessee State had 153 yards of total offense
against an FCS opponent. And like you said,
0 for 12 on third down.
Wow.
They didn't convert.
And like you said,
0 for 12.
Like I said, going through the drive sheet, there was three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Finally got a touchdown, three and out, three and out, three and out, four and out. So just good luck, Middle fans. It's liable to be another long season. And I kind of hate it for Derek Mason, but. Kennesaw taking Wake Forest to the wire. Like I said, I think a lot of people are expecting Wake Forest to be really, really bad. But, you know, from where Kennesaw was last year, I could have taken a decent high school. I know they beat Liberty, but I could have taken a decent high school team and beat Kennesaw last year. They were just pitiful. So I think there are signs of improvement in game one under Jerry Mack, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think there are improvements. Obviously, it shows. Like you said, you go into an ACC Power 14 team's house and, you know, take them to the wire after a disastrous season that you had last year. a lot of positives to take from that. Western, good Lord. I know it was North Alabama. I don't think North Alabama is expected to be any world beaters in FBS, but Maverick McIver is liable to win the Davey O'Brien.
He's a problem.
Five touchdowns, 24 of 31 for 305 yards. Did he have any rushing? No. He had one carry for 7 yards, but nothing really. He's a true pocket passer. That's where he's going to make his money. So just phenomenal stuff out of him. Again, I'm glad we get them at home. And they're towards the end of the season. A lot of time to game plan for them. Pull it back up. And then Liberty. Kind of a weird game. It wasn't until Maine led the whole first half, and it wasn't until the fourth quarter that really Ethan Fasco just kind of took over. And I know he said he didn't just play great, but looking at the score sheet, you would think the game was Ethan Fasco 28, Maine 7. Yeah. We've dealt with Maine a little bit in the past, and when we play them in the playoffs, and they're traditionally a good team. But for everyone expecting Liberty to come in and run the conference again, this was kind of a shaky start for sure. Under a new quarterback and a few different key pieces on offense. You replace talent for what Caden Salter was. I mean, he was a very good quarterback, certainly for Liberty. So, replacing that's going to be tough, and Quentin Cooley and some other guys, replacing your key pieces is going to be tough, but just kind of a, like you said, just kind of a weird game. So, we'll deep dive into Liberty here more in a minute. And the only one that I really want to touch on was FIU. I'm pretty high on FIU. I think K'Juan Jenkins is a stud. I know we didn't. 18 for 30, 187 yards and no touchdowns. But overall, I thought this is a pretty complete game. Their running game was, and I know it's Bethune-Cookman, but they threw where they needed to get down the field, put together points. Everything was the rushing game. K'Juan Jenkins did have, it was only 3 yards on the 3 yards of rushing, but he had the two touchdowns. So in the red zone, the easy plays. But the rushing, Kajon Owens, 11 carries for 71 yards. Devontae Lyons, 8 for 54. Anthony Carey, 8 for 49. And the list goes on. The running game was just stellar. And I think that's good news for, our front seven when we do play them. Because I do think we have I didn't think UCF just ran all over us a lot, besides on the quarterback plays. On the ground, yes, their running back had, I think he had like 81 yards or 71 yards on his own, but a lot of it was 3-4 yards carry. We didn't let him just run all over us. Had the one touchdown that got called back for a holding penalty, so that might be a really interesting matchup. But FIU off to a hot start. If they can take care of those games that they should win, the Bethune-Cookmans, I think FIU is going to be really good.
Have potential to be. And I know that, before we get to the Liberty, and we'll make that part quick because, after 1 week, there's not a ton to talk about. But I do have my little power rankings list here with conference teams, and it's very short. It is Western at 1, Jackson at 2, Liberty at 3, and then however you want to rank the rest of the teams, I don't care. anyway, we'll get into Liberty stuff real quick. I think the game plan for Jack State is bully them up front like we saw Maine do for 3.5 quarters. Throw the ball a little more prolifically than what they did against UCF, and they're going to win the game. Honestly, I think it could be that simple. If you can stifle the ground game, keep Vasco in check, which, again, he had, 19 of 33 sounds good, but he threw for less than 200 yards, so he wasn't throwing all over the field. He was getting 5-6 yards at a time, so he wasn't just killing Maine through the air. And you would obviously have to think that Jack State's defensive backfield is much better than what Maine has at this point in time. So that's what have to bode well for the Jack State defense as well. So if Jack State can stop Liberty ground attack, limit Vassar through the air, which we saw Maine do for a lot of the game, and then just bully them up front with a front seven, and drive them back and keep them behind the sticks like we saw UCF behind the sticks, I don't see a reason Jack State shouldn't win this game going away. No, that's not to say they're going to win by 21 or 28 points, and please don't go put your mortgage on Jack State to cover or win outright, because I know that Jack State's a little bit of an underdog at this point as far as the spread goes. But if you kind of compare both games that we saw, Jack State should match up with Liberty pretty well. Liberty wants to run the ball and then throw it when they have to. I think you know, 33 pass attempts is too much for what Chadwell wants to do down there. I think they got to the point where they were struggling to run it and felt like they needed to throw it. And I think you're going to get to the same point there against JSU if this front seven can have their way. Now, Liberty defense on the other side of that played really well also. Now, as far as what you can learn about playing an FCS team, defensively, I don't really know. I mean, they give up the long touchdown run, and after that, Maine never really threatened to score again. In all reality, they went for it on fourth down a few times, obviously, there at the end. But I think, you know, Jack State kind of stick to the same game plan that you just stuck to, you know. Run the ball to try to move it. If you have to throw it, then work that in. I think if we need to, you know, if we see Caden Creel at times in this game, I doubt Liberty has a ton of film on Caden Creel. There's just not that much out there. So this early on in the season is a great time to use him, especially for a game that is enormously important. You know, if there's time to burn the Caden Creel package to where there will be film, people can stop it. I think it's this game is when you use it. So I think if Jack State can score 24 points, they win the game. That's going to be true for a lot of the year, and I think it's going to be true here against Liberty. Let the defense, you know, do what they do best and find yourself three touchdowns to score. Don't get field goals blocked would help too. Because, you know, there's just not that much we can glean from that FCS contest other than, you know, Liberty looked bad through three quarters. They got bullied up front. Vasco had trouble throwing it at times and threw it really good at times. It was just kind of a weird day for Liberty down there, so I don't want to put too much to it because, you know, if we overreact to FCS teams, we're going to put Florida at number one because Florida looked incredible against Long Island. First of all, if you guys haven't seen it, the first play Florida ran, the blocking on that play should be put in the textbook. It was perfect. Cole Kubelik was on this morning talking about it, back and watched it. And Florida, that front five on that first play, embarrassed Long Island. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm not going to overreact to Liberty in that close contest against Maine. I think Jackson needs to show up, business trip, like Coach Kelly said we had down there in Orlando, let the front seven of the defense do what they do and score enough points to win the game.
Yeah, and, you know, you say not going to overreact to a game against against an FCS opponent. I'm not going to overreact on our side. I'm not going to overreact to a game against a Power 4 opponent. You know, just because, and I said it going into the UCF game, I think they have higher quality athletes. I think they have higher quality coaching, course, money, facilities, all that. It's just a step above. And, you know, for us to, all that being said, you know, for us to take UCF to the wire and ultimately should have won the game, a couple of mistakes here and there with a completely brand new everything about this program, I think it says a lot. But, you know, you see the score and, you know, you want to say, well, there are no more victories. But I think this is what it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's a learning game. And I think we learned a lot. I think we learned a lot about Jack State. I think we learned a lot about, you know, what we need to fix, what can be done. And, you know, going into this Liberty game, I think it's, you know, I don't think we need to change up the game plan, you know, too much from, you know, kind of how we approached or how we moved the ball, at least on offense against UCF. I think feed Cam Cook, because, you know, you look at Maine, they're running back at 11 carries for 118 yards in the one score of the game. And that was the bulk of their offense. So if Maine's doing that, imagine what Cam Cook can do, much less Andrew Paul behind him. I know we didn't see Justice Savage, but, you know, Justice Savage, Andre Devine, you know, not Andre Devine, but the slew of running backs that he has behind him, you know, and Wimsatt. Wimsatt, let Wimsatt use his legs a little bit more effectively or efficiently as the defense gives it to him. Give, you know, like I said before, give the play more time to develop. And if it's not there, take off, because he is a talented running back. And I think he can run on this Liberty defense. So I don't think we need to change up, you know, too much about our offensive game plan. Defense, you know, like you said, it's just getting to Vasco. If we can stay in, I think our DBs, like you said, are more than capable of covering Liberty receivers just as well, if not better, as Maine did. I was mentioning before we recorded, all three of Liberty's second half scores came after turnovers, pretty deep into Maine's territory. So those ultimately were, you know, I guess you could call them gifts to you call them gifts. So obviously that's the big one, you know, limit turnovers, limit the mistakes. I know there were 30 penalties in that UCF game. Clean up the mistakes. Obviously that's a big one. No turnovers. If we can just play sound football, I think we'll be fine. There's not a ton about this Liberty team that just blows me away. I think Vasco is a good quarterback, and like you said, we made him look like Tua Tagovailoa last year, or Joe Burrow, name your quarterback. But there's not a ton about Vasco that just blows me away. He did take what the defense gave him, and that was excellent field position off of turnovers. So, you know, don't shoot ourselves in the foot. Take what the defense gives us and stay in his office, stay in Vasco's office when they have the ball. If we can do that, I think we'll be more than fine.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll wrap it up here, and hopefully we'll talk to you guys on Monday talking about a big Gamecock victory and a 1-0 conference start. And we'll see where the team goes from there. I know they go to Statesboro for week 3, so we'll talk about that a little bit also. But there was a little bit we didn't get to today. We might kind of go back, circle, and cover there too. So, but for now, we'll leave you guys there. We'll see you Saturday at Burgess Snow, and we'll talk about a Gamecock victory on Monday.
See y'all.